Hello and welcome back to another episode of Only a Bag, a travel podcast. I am your host, Nathaniel Miller, and with me as always
is Darcy Milton.
Hello, Darcy. Welcome back.
Thank you.
What are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about day trips from Florence.
All right. With day trips in Florence from mind, we're also going to have a link, an affiliate link in the description below for Trainline. It's how we find all of our train, and they also have buses available as well. Mm-hmm. So if you'd like to support us, support the podcast, support our dreams, please feel free to use the Trainline affiliate link in the description. We get, like, I don't know, $1 back, something like that.
Something like that. But it will not cost you any extra.
It will not cost you any extra. Yeah. And of course, if you like the podcast, please not like and subscribe. I guess it's only for YouTube. But follow us on Spotify. Leave a review if you like it or if you don't like it, I guess. But if you like it, it'd be awesome if you left a review on Apple or Google or wherever you're listening to this.
Yeah, it would be really super helpful.
Helps us out a lot. So let's get into it. Mm-hmm. Day trips in Florence. How do you want to start?
So I have these organized in my head as north, south, and west, just because that's what makes sense to me. And when I think about traveling, I don't always think about what's the closest first. I think about, like, what region I want to go to.
That makes sense. I can see that.
Okay. So I think first we should start with the north and talk about what is the closest day's trip.
Closest to north of Florence.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. What do we got?
Bologna is the it's not closest, but it is fastest. It's only 40 minutes from Florence to Bologna.
And that's because it's on the fast train line, the mm-hmm. Freccia Rossa or the Italo line?
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's great. I mean, that's a beautiful one because the as we've mentioned in every other episode, the fast train does make all the difference between while something else looks closer. If you're not going 220 kilometers an hour, you're not mm-hmm. going to get there sooner.
And there are a lot of places that we don't have on this list because they're like a 2-hour drive away, but we don't often rent cars or do day trips by car. All of the people that we have known to come visit here are wary about renting a car, which is completely fair. And taking a train or a bus is so easy. So all of this list is based on public transit, buses and trains.
It's also, if you're taking, and we're going to have some day trips that are in Tuscany itself. And if you are in Tuscany, we've mentioned this in a previous episode, but Autolinee Toscana is a bus company, basically. It's the regional bus company that operates in Tuscany. Super, super easy. Very straightforward. If I'm not mistaken, all the tickets kind of work on a distance sort of basis, like depending on how far you're going. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's different blocks. It's not like down to the very specific kilometer. But they're also not time locked. So if you happen to get like a couple bus tickets and you decide not to go, you can always go the day later or a couple hours later. So it's not like buying a train ticket and then being locked into that price at that time. Once you have a ticket, as long as you don't validate it, you can use it whenever, mm-hmm. Which does make at least travel around Tuscany, I think, really, really simple.
Yeah, absolutely.
But of course, not all of these are going to be in Tuscany. So just as a heads up, this is...
It's just an option for if you are going for a day trip inside of Tuscany. Yeah.
Yeah, very, very simple.
So Bologna is 40 minutes away. And you might be asking us, why would I want to go to Bologna? Well, I think the main reason is that it is the home of bologna.
Easily bologna. The number one reason. 10 out of 10. Really set yourself up for that one.
I did. I liked it.
Sorry, I spoke over it. Do you want to hit it again?
And that's not bologna.
10 out of 10.
It's actually called mortadella here, though.
Yeah, it's the same thing as bologna, mm-hmm. From the city of Bologna, but it is called mortadella, and it actually is a beautiful, beautiful pizza with a mortadella and pistachio cream.
Yeah, that sounds gross, but have we had it?
We've had it, I think, once back when we were eating meat. We had a bite of it. We're like, that's delicious.
I remember it being good. Okay. I
remember we shared a pizza and had it. Was something, but it's kind of, it's like fatty and nutty and salty, and it's really mm-hmm. strange, but you're like, this is kind of dumb. But no, it's classic, mm-hmm. classic pizza combination. And I assume you're going to find a lot of it in Bologna.
Quite possibly. We haven't been, so we can't say. Yeah. You might only find it in Naples, the home of pizza. But bologna is actually not the most important thing about Bologna.
Well, it's up there, though.
It's up there. I think, to me, the most important thing is that it has the oldest university in Italy.
Well, it's the oldest continuously operating university in the world, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And the oldest university in Italy. Well, I guess, yeah. I guess that, yeah, that encompasses it.
Encompasses Italy, yes. I think it's the oldest, because it started in 1088. And I want to say that's there. And I mean, it's claimed as the oldest university in the world. There is a lot of, obviously, we don't know that much of a history. We've made that very clear, I think, in some previous episodes. But there's a lot of, I don't know, a lot of people are basically like, that's a, quite a Western point of view, because there are a number of much older universities in North Africa, Middle East, that started primarily as like a place of religious teaching, and then started encompassing like algebra or mathematics or literature. Mm-hmm. And then it became full-fledged sort of universities that we consider today, but were in operation for hundreds of years before that. Sort of, I guess, yeah, there's a lot of like religious schools in Italy that are kind of the same thing, like started as monasteries or something like that.
Yeah, and then would have absolutely
turned into just like schools.
Mm-hmm. So but it's by a Western view, it's the oldest university in
the world.
The world? Okay.
And I think it's actually the first one that started allowing women students. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a fascinating thing. Part of the reason we mentioned that is it's the idea, I think, of being a university is very steeped in the Bolognese culture. In the sense that it's a lot of students there. It's the second largest university in Italy currently. La Sapienza in Rome is the largest.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is interesting because Rome is obviously huge in comparison to Bologna.
Yeah.
So for having, like, I mean, I don't think, it's kind of like, I don't know, New York or Atlanta or LA. Nobody mm-hmm. thinks of these as like university cities, mm-hmm. even though there are universities or colleges in all these places. And Rome, nobody thinks of it, I think, as like, it's a university city, even though it's a home to like four
tons.
Or five universities. Yeah.
I would say more than that.
Well, I'm thinking like at least the Politecnica, mm-hmm. Polytechnic Institute, the Sapienza, the John Cabot, which is the American university. There's a few others, right?
There's several others.
Okay.
I can't list any of them right now, but
they're like there.
Walking around, we just see signs for them.
Yeah. No, there's a number of, I guess...
The Bellarti Institute.
Oh, there is the Bellarti Institute. I didn't know if that was part of another one or if that was part of the... I think there's also University of Rome, which could be La Sapienza. I don't know. But all that is to say, in Bologna, being the second largest university, it's a much greater population of students compared to, well...
Other people.
Well, yeah, mostly people who live there, but also just like tourists and this and that. So with that in mind, it's considered a very left-leaning, and like just historically speaking, it's mm-hmm. always been quite like historically it's had very close like communist ties. It's always been very anti, like not even anti-establishment, but I feel like it's always been, I don't know, they have a history of being very like protest heavy. Mm-hmm. Even and still to this day, I mean, there's a good chance. It's kind of like, I mean, I love France. You know, we both love France. But it's like when you go to France, there's a really good chance you're going to catch a protest for something.
Yes. Heavy on that in France.
Yeah, they're heavy on it. It's great. And I think Bologna is kind of the same way. It's like you're going to probably catch a protest for something. I mean, not like a violent one. I just mean it's usually like, you know, 100 kids, 100 students mm-hmm. Marching in the street. So if there's very, I think, a very powerful... exercising of your will, of your democratic, you know, sort of, we're gonna speak to their people. I don't know. It seems really fascinating. Everything we've heard about Bologna, it seems like just very not in line with a lot of other Italy. And it's just in the sense mm-hmm. of a lot of Italians don't seem as outspoken or as loud in that sort of like, we're gonna make a difference today. It's they're very much like, well, if a difference happens, it might happen. We'll see.
You're really convincing me on this day trip to Bologna.
We should go to
Bologna. I might spend more than one day there.
So, Bologna is 40 minutes away from Florence. And if you need a little bit of, I don't know, they have a communist newspaper. So, if that interests you, also Bologna. And there is a ton of other stuff. There's also, they're apparently famous for their porticos, which I thought was very fascinating. Mm-hmm. But that's, I think that's like a main, like a major kind of day trip rather than like one of the ones to a smaller town.
Yeah. I mean, it's Bologna. A lot of people have heard of it.
Yeah.
And it's easy to get to.
Very true. So what else do we got?
So the next one, actually, you put on the list.
Ooh.
It is, how do you pronounce it?
I totally forgot. I don't know.
Fiesole.
Oh, yeah. I did. Okay. That one's kind of an interesting one.
It's also 40 minutes away.
But it is. It's probably like 6 minutes away if you had a car. Mm. If that. Like, if you had a car. It's literally looking at a map of the Arno Valley, which is the valley that the Arno runs through. It has Pistoia and Prato and Florence in it, little tiny valley. Just north of Florence is Fiesole. It's a tiny, tiny town. It's not like, I mean, not to, you know, disparage it. It doesn't have a lot going on for it. in and of itself. However, we often talk about, like, when you're hot in Rome or when you're hot in these cities, like, what do you do? Where do you go? How are some ways to manage it? Where are some ways to manage it? And one thing that a lot of Florentinians do is go to Fiesole, because it's up literally in elevation from Florence. So it's kind of up in the mountain, like, not mountains, I guess, like, very tall hills. I don't know what we call that.
Is it the top of a hill?
I don't know if it's the top or the top of one, but not the top of the surrounding mountains.
Okay, got it.
And it's, I mean, it's surrounded by olive groves. It's really quite peaceful. It's much cooler just temperature wise, just because it is a little more elevated, less humid. Plus though, because it is so close to Florence, I mean, like, I think coming from this American point of view, this wouldn't even be considered a suburb. It'd just be considered like Florence's downtown to this, like, I don't know, neighborhood, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, I mean, they're really quite close to each other. You get these beautiful, beautiful kind of panoramic vistas of Florence. So it's worth it, I think, for like one of those, it's like a hot afternoon, it's hitting 100 degrees, you've seen everything you want to see, so you can't, you know, you don't want to pay another $25 to go inside the Uffizi to get air conditioning. It's not a bad option just for that sort of like small town Italian feel. And it's something I think we pitched when we were talking about day trips from Rome, as we talked about a few like Bracciano as these kind of small Italian towns. Where it's going to be kind of a repeating concept, I think.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot of small Italian towns.
They're very much
quintessential,
are.
Yeah. And yeah. They're beautiful.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing. I think it's like if it's important to you that, you know, kind of seeing a very realistic slice of Italian life kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Just whether it's like food or prices or anything like that. It's just, I think going to a place like Fiesole is that. It's like sort of, they're not catering to tourists because they get very few of them. The only ones who come up there are probably Florentinians who know about it. So you'd be in good company.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
That sounds fun. That sounds great. So the next place is farther away. Well, we have a lot. There's a lot of day trips from Florence.
Florence is very, we probably should have, it's very centrally located.
It is. And they have, it's centrally located, but the public transit system is, I don't know if I should call it efficient, but it's thorough.
It's very thorough.
It's thorough.
Absolutely. Plus, if I may throw in, there are a number of nearby cities and towns, because it's Tuscany, but also because it's like Reggio Emilia, that's the whole like region, they kind of become world famous, whether for food, whether for art, architecture, whether for cars. So I think it is something that, I think that it basically, it's like, I mean, the south, it's like, yeah, one or two places. It's like, oh yeah, I've heard of that, kind of. Mm-hmm. But then in the north, it's almost like, whether it's, again, Bologna, it's like, whether it's food, like balsamic or Parmesan or something like that, it's like, we really know about these things. We know where they come from. It's and they're within minutes from each other. Mm-hmm. So I think it's like almost this saturation mixed with the fact, as you said, a very thorough public transportation system just gives it 20-odd day trips. And we've, what do you put the list down to? I think like 8, 9, 7? More than that.
Yes.
Okay. So like 10 almost. Okay. So let's
What are you talking about? 10? 20.
Easily?
Almost 20.
Okay.
So I think like something like 17.
All right. Well, let's get going. You can't be letting me chat, man. I'm putting 8 minutes
chatty
on each of these.
Okay. Verona. Verona is the next place we're going to talk about.
Let's talk about Verona.
It is an hour and a half from
Florence?
What are we talking about? Florence. It's an hour and a half from Florence.
Famous, of course, for the beautiful story of tragic love. Written by Shakespeare.
Bert and Ernie.
It's a great...
It is a tearjerker.
It really is.
It's Romeo and Juliet.
Which is interesting because apparently it is set in Verona, but there's a lot of speculation that it was based off of families from Siena.
Mm-hmm. Which is fascinating.
Which is, we'll talk about in a minute. But Verona.
Yeah.
Anything interesting to say about Verona? Shall we speed through it because we have a lot to say about other places? All right. Darcy is nodding to me.
I am, because I'm sure there's so many wonderful
Verona
things about Verona.
Is in the province of Veneto. It's up near Venice. Very beautiful, I imagine. We have not been there, but we've been to a lot of these. So we'll keep going.
Yeah. Okay. So next one, also famous for Shakespeare, is Padua. And he set The Taming of the Shrew in Padua. It is also like 1.5 to 2 hours away.
Oh, that's easy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They also, I will throw in too, they're quite famous. They have apparently a pretty big pastry scene in Padua, as well as just kind of being famous for like sort of, again, the whole art and architecture thing. They were once a very powerful region, sort of combating both with Verona and with Venice, and ended up being conquered. So there's like again, it's the kind of thing of like, why do you go to anywhere in Italy? It's for history, but Padua, Verona, all of these sort of Venice. I mean, Venice is Venice, let's be honest, but for that also, sort of
Shakespeare.
Yeah, also Shakespeare, but they're mm-hmm. all, I think, quite famous too in their own little world. Own little
yes,
bard.
Sorry, I don't mean to say that they're famous because of like a British man. Yeah. Well, I didn't mean to imply that.
Thank you.
Or whoever Shakespeare may have been. No, but they are wonderful.
Oh no, they're quite. I mean, I think they're all. I mean, yeah, I'm willing to bet too. If you have a car, you can kind of pop into each of them and just kind of vibe them out, so to speak, and then. Not each of them on the same trip necessarily, but like depending how far and how much time you have. You can. They're quite small. All of Verona, Padua, mm-hmm. they're very, Bologna not so much, but they're very, very small.
Yeah.
In comparison to like Rome or Florence.
You say car travel, but I really do encourage all of you and like everybody I talk to do as much bus and train travel
oh, for
as
sure.
you can.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it, in comparison, is much more affordable. It's much more relaxed by and large, because you don't have to be looking at a map or worried about where you're going, and you just get to look around and see the beautiful scenery. And in Tuscany, it's just wonderful rolling hills that you might completely miss if you're driving.
Plus, it's a lot more eco-friendly. So
absolutely,
we're all about that climate-friendly. Well, obviously pledge, but we didn't sign a pledge. We're just like really into the climate. So
yeah, we just like the climate.
Not to mention, I will throw in there too, if you do happen to rent a car, a lot of these car rental places are pushing the electric car, which is awesome. However, not a lot of electric charging areas.
Yes. If you do want to get an electric car, I suggest you look up, I think you can do it on Google Maps. You can look where there are electric charging stations.
But this is also Italy, so something to keep in mind is that a lot of people tend to park their car in the electric car parking charging area.
When they don't have an electric car.
Yeah. And that's just something to throw out. Like, if you do happen to rent a car and you're like, we're going to go electric, we're going to go like super climate friendly. Also, you know, like not have to pay a ton of money on gas, because I don't know if y'all knew, gas is like $10, $11 a gallon here.
Yes. Y'all, it's crazy.
It is insane to rent a car here. But if you are
actually,
going
what's
to
crazy
do it,
is how cheap it is in America, but we're not going to get into that.
If you are going to rent a car here, though, yeah, and it's going to be electric, just something to keep in mind is, like, I think in America, it's so easy to find like a big grocery store that has a bunch of the electric car charging ports now. Yeah. But that doesn't really exist here. It's still quite difficult to like hunt and find. And some towns have none. So it's like, if you're going to them, you're, you know, and you didn't fully charge the night before, it's like, oh boy.
Yeah, it seems a little stressful.
Yeah.
Okay, on to the next. Milan.
So we got anything to say about this one? We're gonna scoot right past.
It's 2 hours away.
It's also, if I may throw it, it's huge. We haven't been there, but it is huge. It's famous for a lot of things, the cathedral being one of them.
Fashion.
Fashion, I think. Do they do some of the fashion?
I think they might.
Yeah. It's just, okay. I didn't know if it was like somewhere else or Milan. but they are, it's a pretty large, city.
It is. But it's very, I won't say brutalist because that's not the right term, but it's very harsh architecture is what
a
I've,
lot of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Because like it's unfortunately quite new. It's also quite, for lack of a better word, European, in the sense of it's not. I guess, you know, I think that's a good way to put it. It's more just like generally European rather than like specifically Southern. It's also, I don't think it's nearly as old as some other cities were recommending.
Yeah, definitely not.
So it does. It's sort of like, I mean, we talked about Turin, not here because it's not quite a day trip from Florence, unfortunately. But it's a very new city.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the most of the city is like 1800s. So it's one of those things where it's like quite a new city in comparison.
Is Turin or
yeah,
okay?
It's Turin and Milan is older, but
oh, is it?
Yeah.
I was thinking that bits of it were. I guess I'm thinking of there's like a financial sector.
Yeah.
And that's like that's just new.
But even though the like everything I've seen of the fashion area, like we're mm-hmm. like it's sort of like New York City and what is it? 7th Avenue? No. What is that garment district area?
Just the garment district.
It's just the garment district. Oh, it's all like new. It's like, I don't know, you're expecting like to, I don't know, I feel like sometimes you go to the garment district and I'm expecting, I don't know, I'm expecting looms, right? I'm expecting like, I don't know, somebody's yelling out like prices for wool or something.
No, it's
I don't
just
know.
Like sequins and feathers and
yeah.
It's glorious.
And that's, and I, so it's I think new. It's a, it's definitely something different than I was expecting the first time. But Milan, to like also kind of clarify, it's in Lombardia. So it's a little bit more north than some of these other ones we were talking about. And it is quite large in comparison to basically any other like Italian city. It's larger than Rome. So I mean, when I say huge, I mean like it's huge. Mm-hmm. So it is like, think of it as a day trip. It's not the easiest place. But I think you could probably do, there's the Galleria Vittorio Emanuele, which actually has a similar one in Naples, interestingly, that mm-hmm. based off the one in Milan. There is the cathedral. Couple other things, a couple other bits and bobs here and there. But it is, I think it's like, again, it is a city.
Yeah.
It's like New York City, or it's like, again, any other one. Mm-hmm. So it's like, there's ones or two, like, oh, I want to visit this and visit that. But then the rest of it is just everybody's living their life. Obviously, you're going to run into like great food, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the one thing that weirdly people do tell us about. It's like about Milan. They're like, oh, the food, though, is actually like, you know, quite delicious. Simply, I think, because it is, it does have more of an amalgamation of the rest of Europe, and not so much a reliance on having to do traditional Italian. It could kind of...
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about it like that.
Spread out, yeah. Hmm. So Milan, I think that's the farthest day trip you have from Florence. I mean, in this, the northern region, or do you...
It's the farthest and most practically speaking. I have two that I'm going to talk about that are actually 3 hours away.
Ooh.
I know. And that is something that I think we said in our, you know, day trips from Rome episode, is that 3 hours in our view is not really a day trip, because round trip, you're spending 6 hours in that day on a train. However, if you are limited in where you are able to stay, if you're only going to be staying in Florence, and if you have an extra day, or if you're someone who's just, you know, really loves train travel or bus travel, and you're willing to spend that much time on a train to see something that you have been wanting to see for a long time, understood. So those are my list.
Yeah.
But yeah, Milan 2 hours away is, that's a practical outside edge day trip. Yeah. So even farther away, on the very, very outside edge, 3 hours away, is Rio Maggiore. And that is part of Cinque Terre. And that is, it's the closest town that is part of Cinque Terre to Florence. And it's on the list because whenever I look online for lists of day trips to Florence, Cinque Terre is often on the list. And I just don't think it's that practical for a day trip. So we're going to talk about Rio Maggiore because it's the closest one.
There is also Levanto. Wait, I mean, it's not technically Cinque Terre, mm-hmm. but the north, just I think past, I think it's Monte Rosso al Mare is the last one, or maybe there's another one and then the end. But there's Levanto, which I don't think is technically part of Cinque Terre. And that's only 2.5 hours away, despite being farther, because you have to switch in La Spezia to go through Cinque Terre on the train. And it's this kind of the slow, regionally, like, not chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga,
yeah.
slow, but it's still like the slow train through the...
through the mountain,
through the mountains, basically, of Cinque Terre. Or they go around to Levanto, so it's actually quite quick to go around to Levanto. So it's like, if you want a similar feel... That's actually technically closer.
Or fewer minutes spent on transit.
Or fewer minutes spent on, it's farther away. But yeah, fewer minutes spent on transit. So it's 5 hours instead of 6 hours. But also, I think one of the reasons you put Rio Maggiore there is because of the five, Cinque meaning five, two or three don't actually have beach access. Or mm-hmm. I think one does not have a beach access. Like one has like essentially it's a concrete slab. Another one, it's mostly paid beach with a very tiny free beach.
Mm-hmm. And Rio Maggiore has two-ish, mostly one free beach, or beach in general.
I'd say one beach, yeah.
One beach.
You
There's
think the
another
other one is
one.
A harbor? Or...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anyone swims there, right?
Do they not?
No, okay. I think it's all, because all boats.
Okay, so one beach, which is quite tiny, to be fair. But it's like the nicest beach of...
Yeah.
Cinque Terre. And I think, like, I definitely had this view, and I think a lot of Western people, I guess, have this view, especially because of social media. You know, you see Cinque Terre in all these photos. By the way, most of the time you're seeing Rio Maggiore. It's another reason it's on the list. Classic photo spot.
Oh, yeah.
But it looks like it's all of this beautiful beach and swimming and amazing. And then when you get into it, there really isn't that much beach access any of these towns.
Yeah, and it's basically they're all pretty much on cliffs. Is yes. like all these, they're all like, old fishing colonies, basically, on cliffs. So it's not, I mean, the idea wasn't for, I mean, it's the same thing with the Amalfi Coast, and we'll talk about that when we get to those episodes. But these places that are famous for being on the water, it's like you would have to kind of navigate down rock to get to your boat to go fish and you come back. It wasn't, there wasn't like this nice strip of sand. And even Rio Majorde, which genuinely I think does have the best beach access, it is quite large. Nuts. I mean, okay, it's a beach, which is like kind of sandy stones. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you get into the water, it's like some of it is boulders under the water. So it's not, I mean, it's maybe not peaceful swimming.
Oh, I would not say it's peaceful swimming. I also would not. Well, okay, we went and Nathaniel and I are fairly strong swimmers. I mean, we're not athletic swimmers, but we can
float, if you know what I'm saying. We can just sit there and float.
We can swim fairly well. I would not take children there, but we also went whenever there was a storm coming. So the waves and the current were really intense.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We were getting banged into these boulders coming in and out of the water. So it's intense.
Swimming. It definitely is. But it's also, I think the reason we keep mentioning swimming is just because I think Cinque Terre is known for a lot of things. One, you can walk between all the towns. Not something I recommend on a day trip from Florence.
You can hike between all
the towns. Yes. towns. They also, by the way, for what it's worth, they have banned flip-flops and sandals on these hikes. Fines up to 2,500 euros. They really strongly encourage you, with fines, to use hiking shoes or just shoes, but ideally hiking boots, because they, I think, again, because of, I mean, I'm blaming social media. This could be really old rules. But essentially they're like, you'd stop starting this walk in flip-flops and then getting trapped halfway up there, and not able to get back. Mm. So, I mean, but they are beautiful. And I think, Darcy, when you said don't bring kids, you meant specifically to the beach, like,
oh,
into
yeah,
the water.
I mean, yeah, just, I wouldn't swim with kids. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But yeah. It's essentially, and Rio Majorde specific is one street, let's just say, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. Like, and for purposes of visiting there rather than living there.
Yeah. And then, That's quite low in the sense of it's pretty much just above sea level. And then, the town itself just goes straight up cliffs on either side. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful. And I think to warn everybody, it's quite touristy. Mm-hmm. A lot of the menus do veer into that direction. But you can, there's a great focaccia place. There's like, you know, Genoese
with the
focaccia.
Onion focaccia. It was delicious.
So there's definitely some like budget eats there. There's a grocery store there. A lot of seafood.
Mm-hmm. They have a lot of fried seafood, which actually was not that expensive when we went.
Just like $5 to $7 for a little, what is it? Those little paper cones of seafood. Mm-hmm. So if you are, I think, and one thing you mentioned earlier, maybe just to me before this episode was like, oh no, you mentioned earlier in this episode was basically this is one of those places that like, you know, we're leaving Italy in a couple of days. We're never going to, you know, we're not going to come back for a couple of years easily. Who knows when we're going to, you know, if we'll go to Cinque Terre next time. So it's very much a possible trip. Yeah. If you're like, this is never going to happen otherwise. And we've seen all of Florence. We're not going to go.
It's on your must see list, it is possible from Florence, but not ideal as a day trip.
Yeah. And I will say, I might throw in, and then we'll go to the next town, is if you're going to Amalfi Coast after Florence, I recommend just wading through the Amalfi Coast. It's a very, very similar feel, vibe, energy.
More relaxed.
But much, more for relaxed. And honestly, mm-hmm. like weirdly fewer tourists.
Yeah. I would also say possibly more access to beaches.
Probably a lot more better access to beaches,
Calmer waters. Calmer, as well.
Definitely calmer waters. It doesn't, because I think the Cinque Terre sort of just faces the Mediterranean, whereas the Amalfi Coast is sort of, it also faces, but because it juts out, it kind of protects from a lot of the currents. So there mm-hmm. isn't as, it's not as rough. It's much more tranquil because it's just, it's part of that little peninsula jutting out. So it's quite, you're not as exposed, I feel like. It's a little more protected.
Mm-hmm. There's also some islands around that area, and I don't know if that
that's a good point. That kind of kills a lot of the currents.
Yeah, I don't know enough about this to be saying that.
Oceanography? Maybe. Yeah. I believe it. If you told me in a bar, I'd be like, yeah, that sounds smart.
Okay, maybe that's not a good indication of how much I know.
If you told me to coffee shop, is that better? There's smart people hanging out, I think.
Okay, let's talk about the next one.
Sounds good.
Venice.
Ooh.
Talk
about those outside time limits.
Yeah, well, it's also 3 hours away.
Okay.
Same as Rio Maggiore, opposite side of the country. Venice is in the northeast of Florence. And it's Venice. It's on a lot of people's bucket lists, is okay, why.
First off, a British man did write about it. It's called The Merchant of Venice. and then it's also some canals, I believe.
Yeah, it's also some canals.
There is also, I think, an entry fee now, weirdly
there
enough.
There is.
I think it's €2.50 or €3. It's not very big. It's not very big at all. It's not like something to worry about. It's just, and depending on when you listen to this, it might have already lost it. It's being threatened with losing its like World Heritage site because so much of it is changing and it's not being properly protected.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Wow. I think it's because it's essentially, they already banned the, cruise ships basically from entering from going past St. Mark's Square because it's like destroying the everything. Mm-hmm. But essentially they're still not doing enough to sort of prevent rampant tourism from destroying the islands and the fact that it's flooding and the whole nine yards, and they're like, as soon as there's gonna be some ruins, we're not keeping this on the UNESCO World Heritage Site, you know, or list. So it's something to consider, is better hurry up.
Yeah, Venice is sinking.
Yeah.
So.
But it's Venice. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's a fast train directly into Venice. So, and that's it. I think something to maybe mention here is a good spot to mention is one thing we talked about in the Rome episode is that like Naples isn't really a day trip from Rome. Part of that is because when you're in Rome, unless you're staying right next to the train station, it can be difficult to get to the train station. Less difficult if you're staying right on a metro line, but if you're staying near the Vatican and not on a metro line, or if you're staying near the Colosseum and not on the metro line or something like that, it can take 20 minutes to get to the, easily, maybe a little bit more. Yeah, to get to the train station. Not because it's in the middle of nowhere, it's quite centrally located, but sometimes your Airbnb or hotel isn't that centrally located. However, with Florence, unless you're staying like significantly outside the Centro Storico, what are we calling that?
Historic Center.
Thank you. It's so easy to get to the train station.
Yeah, Santa Maria Novella is quite easy to get to.
Super centrally located, easy walk. Again, we were just there like last week from today, and we just kept accidentally hitting it. Like a 5-minute walk, 10-minute walk, all of a sudden we're like, oh, we're there again. So it's super simple. And at the same time, Venice is also like, the train brings you across, like to the island of Venice, the fast train does. And then from there, there's water taxis. You're just going to start walking. There's bridges. There's, you know, it's one of those things where there's very little like time on either side. So although it's 6 hours of travel on the trains, I think it's, once you get there, it's not like, okay, we're going to have to take a, 15, 20 minute bus to get to Venice. It's like, no, you're.
And again, it's not ideal, but it's possible. And if you really want to see Venice and you're staying in Florence, I think you can do it.
You could, and it's a long, I think it's one of the things, it's a long day, but you can totally knock it out.
Absolutely.
We're going to go from here. It was going to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
Because it was going to be 4.5 hours, I think, from here. And we'd be like, that's not bad. We have a couple hours in Venice and we spend 9 hours on, the train. But we ended up not doing that, obviously. Yeah. Not obviously, but ultimately, I should say. But from Florence, it's probably a little bit easier.
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. So quickly, I just want to run through three other places in the north, and then we're going to move to the west and the south.
Okay.
So three places in the north that are on my list for foodie sort of place. If you're a foodie traveler.
Gastronomique.
Yeah.
I just wanted to use a fun word, sorry. Keep going.
It's good, I liked it.
Thank you.
We have Modena, which is an hour to an hour and a half away. Reggio Emilia, which is an hour and a half to 2 hours away. And Parma, which is 2 hours away.
And if I may, Modena, obviously famous for the balsamic vinegar. A lot of the fancy ones at grocery stores even say like, it's like balsamic vinegar of Modena, or like Modena balsamic vinegar. They are also the home of a couple of car companies, Maserati and the fast one?
Ferrari,
thank you very much.
Vroom vroom.
The vroom vroom, yeah, it's like the vroom vroom one, whatever that one is. I think
and
Lamborghini.
They have the Ferrari Museum.
They have an Enzo Ferrari Museum there. Okay. It's famous, it's quite famous for its car culture as well as, food in general, but it's, interestingly, it's got a number of incredibly highly rated restaurants, like worldly highly rated restaurants in Modena, which is fascinating simply because it's just such a small city. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you'd expect it from Rome. You wouldn't really expect, or Milan.
Yeah, for sure.
Parma ham, classic, famous. Maybe classic famous in America. I don't know. In Italy, I don't know.
I think it's famous in America.
Parma ham. Okay,
I've
cool.
I've heard Parma ham, I think, before.
Well, there's Parma ham in Parma.
But also Parmigiano Reggiano comes from I think just the whole region.
Both Parmigiano and...
But both Parma and Reggio Emilia.
Yeah.
Which is where Parmigiano, Parma and Reggiano, Reggio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And what else is... One of... You were telling me about a restaurant that was voted...
In Modena.
In Modena. Okay. Yes. What was it voted?
It was, I think it was the, on a list of like 50 best restaurants to eat at. And I don't know whose list. I don't know if it was like Lonely Planet or somebody else's list. It was voted number one on the list, which is just fascinating because it's, I don't know if it's also Michelin. I should have looked to see if it was Michelin starred or not.
Shall I put it in the description, that name of that restaurant?
No, because in case it's like $90 a plate. I want to be telling people, like, you should go to this place that's $90 a plate and spend $600 on potentially what's supposed to be a good meal, but might not be. Okay. Maybe we should. I don't know. We'll figure it out. If it's in the description, it has our seal of approval. Otherwise, it's got our manatee of disgust. Fun little jokes for everybody. Reggio Emilia is also, I think, just sort of generally, they're very small. They're all very small, but interestingly, I believe they're all roughly 30 kilometers away from each other. Because apparently that was the distance a Roman soldier could walk in a day. So if you look in that sort of line, Modena, Parma, Reggio Emilia, there's this kind of all the way to Piacenza, I think from coast to coast. There's basically a town every 30 kilometers, which seems like...
That's fascinating.
...packed. But then really, you know, and eventually I imagine they're slowly going to start consuming each other. It's just what happens. But no, it's there. Those are all on the same little strip. So if you need to, like, if you just want to, you know, pop into either one, taste some Parmesan, taste some balsamic, taste some ham,
mm-hmm.
boom, 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 and then yeah. You're back on the train, coming back to Florence.
Yeah, I have a new goal in life. It's to figure out if I can walk 30 kilometers a day. I should say maybe it's to try to walk 30 kilometers a day, but I went with figure out. So
we're gonna be halfway there and be like, I could totally do
first
this.
First I'll figure it out and then I'll see if I can, do it.
We'll walk it. It's not bad. Yeah. All right. We can do it. We can pull it off.
Yeah. Okay. I said me. This is a me goal.
This I'm is no do longer a group myself. Activity.
Yes. I'm a Barbie girl on the panel. I can do whatever I put my mind to.
And that's not even an ad. We haven't seen the movie yet.
No, I just
it's only in Italian around here.
Very empowered. Okay.
Quite nervous. So,
we're moving on.
Not to see the movie, but I don't understand Italian nearly enough to understand the
movie.
Oh,
okay.
I'm very excited to see the movie, but I'm like, I'm very nervous about my Italian. I'm sort of sitting there like, I don't know, was that a good thing? Everyone's laughing. Like, it's like Oppenheimer in Italian. You don't want to see that. You're going to start laughing at something
terrifying.
That you think is a joke. It's not a joke. Everyone's like crying and you're like, oh, I totally misunderstood that. It's very nerve-wracking.
Okay, let's move on to talking about
that's totally fair.
Other things. Okay, so let's talk about three places in the west of Florence. Pisa, classic.
I will say there's more than the tower too. There's a couple like mm-hmm. little bits and bobs, old town, beautiful views, whole nine yards. The tower is the famous thing. I'll be honest, like everyone, I feel like they almost get a bad rep because not a bad rep. They almost get like, I don't know, like
a boring reputation.
Yeah,
maybe.
Because a lot of people just hop off the train,
see the tower, take a little photo,
and you can see the tower from the train and from. I mean, because we've pulled in on the train, and like, oh my god, that's the tower.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of not like. You're not going right by
oh,
it
no.
and
you
seeing
see it,
like
in
all
the
of
distance.
Its beauty yet.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, look, I'm squinting. I think that's it.
Well, I mean, it's a little bigger than that, right?
No, it's I saw the very leaning. Tip of it.
But it's an
yeah,
angle.
Yeah, you were like, Darcy, look, that's it. And I was like, oh, I guess so.
It's because it was coming up from an angle. I'm like, I think that's it. Or somebody's wonky chimney.
I might have just seen a wonky chimney.
It might have been a wonky chimney. So no, it's worth maybe getting off the train to go explore. But I it's one of those, I think, little towns that while there are some beautiful things in Pisa to do, such as visiting churches and walking around beautiful old parts of towns and cobbled alleyways, there's also, I think, basically everyone just, like, get your fill of that in Florence and then go check out a Leaning Tower in Pisa just to kind of
yeah,
say
I think
you've
that's
seen
a
it.
Lot of people's general idea.
Yeah, unfortunately. But if you have the time and you want to walk around, we've heard it's supposed to be kind of also quite lovely itself. Mm-hmm. So
lots of students.
Yeah, lots
big
of students.
University,
big university.
City.
So
yeah.
Go, let us know how you found it. And then like let us know because I would love to
get some more feedback.
Yeah, get some more feedback. Exactly.
Absolutely. So I want to move on to the next one.
Let's do it.
As other people move on from Pisa. That's terrible. I shouldn't have moved past
really,
it.
Really making
so
these
quickly.
Jokes as you go on the fly. Okay, I got a bologna and a Pisa joke.
I want to talk about Livorno. Livorno?
Livorno.
Livorno.
Tell me about Livorno.
Well, it's interesting to me because it's, I don't want to say it's like Venice, but the pictures make it look a little bit like Venice in that it has canals.
I think it's like four canals, mm-hmm. something like that, five.
And it's on the sea. as well. It just looks beautiful. And it's a place where I think you can get, like we were talking about earlier, getting the sense of smaller town Italy. It's a small city, so you're not going to get, you know, old medieval town, quintessential small Italy, but it is a smaller city with beautiful canals. So if you want to see canals essentially and some beautiful buildings, and you can't make it to Venice, it could be an option for you.
It can definitely satiate that appetite. Plus, it is a huge port though, especially for like a lot of ferries. So you happen to be leaving via boat, you might actually be seeing Livorno. But if you're not, then yeah, as you think of it, you can get your fill of canals. Mm-hmm. And because also especially the canals in Venice, besides the gondola, you can't like dock your boat there. I mean, you can if it's like a tiny boat and you happen to live there, but it's not.
Yeah, but what you're saying, yeah, I see what you're saying. But the Livorno, there are like little, would you call them speed boats? They're not speed boats.
No, they're little sailboats, motorboats. Yeah,
yeah, up and down the canals are a bit bigger.
Yeah, so it's almost like boat parking and also canals. It's quite an interesting, and plus a bunch of bridges crossing them. So it's quite an interesting little dynamic there.
Yeah, and it's 2 hours away. I don't know if I said that.
Oh, nice. Okay. 2 hours away from Florence. Super close in comparison.
Yeah. So next is Arezzo, which is on the list because it is just 30 minutes away from Florence, super fast trip. And it's a bit like a smaller version of Siena.
Okay.
I would say. They have a piazza that looks very similar to the Piazza del Campo.
Yeah. In Siena.
In Siena. And if you, it's kind of like an option if you can't make it to Siena because it's too far away. Arezzo might be a good option. I would guess that it's also less crowded than Siena.
For sure.
But I don't know. But there's also two cool events that happen there every first Sunday and the Saturday before it. Mm-hmm. There is an antiques market.
Okay.
And then you found something that it was like a medieval jousting
I
event?
I did. It's called like the Saracen Joust or something like that. Joust Saracen Joust. But it seems to be basically like the four quarters of the city each have like, they're all like sort of like Siena, which is split into different like quarters or houses, is I think a better way to describe it.
Families?
No? Yeah, okay. Families. I think Arezzo is similar. So it's four families who own four different, I mean, historically own four different parts of the town. And they select two champions who go and not joust against each other, but joust against, I think it's to some... it basically is a dummy and they're hitting the dummy. I'm not sure what the point is, but I think it's fascinating because how many times you get to see jousting in a medieval square anywhere?
Yeah,
you know,
that's
it just
amazing.
Seems sort of fascinating. And that's in June. I think it's the second to last Sunday in June.
But there's also one, I thought you said in September.
Oh, there is.
Well.
It's like the first Sunday in September.
Something like that,
yeah. So some wild thing that they're just like, well, let's do it in June and September and just not too long. I think actually the Palio, the horse race in Siena, is like that. I mean, not I don't know if it's June in Siena, June and September specifically, but it's somewhat like midsummer and then like late summer.
Interesting.
Yeah. So Arezzo is, as you said, it seems like a great option though if you're looking for a different Siena.
Yeah.
Or if absolutely. You've been to Siena, you really like the feel and you want to find something similar but not quite the same.
Yeah, just see a new place for sure. Yeah. So speaking of Siena, that's the next on the list. Although it looks like it's about the same distance from Florence. It's actually an hour and a half away from Florence compared to Arezzo's 30 minutes by public transit. And it's great. You and I have been to Siena a few times and really enjoyed it.
We've also been there for what it's worth as a day trip from Florence.
Yeah, we did. And it was great. I mean, I think we saw the whole historic center.
Yeah, I mean, I think because we were showing around my dad and brother, we actually even saw like some stuff like the Medici garden. I don't know what they call it, the Medici palace, the Medici sort of. There's a giant fortress, basically, kind of in the historic area, but on the very edge of the historic area, and it used to be a fortress, but not like for the Sienese, but actually like always it was always an invading army that was controlled this fortress. Interestingly enough, I think it was the Spanish and then the Medici's, and then basically I think in the late 1800s, late 1700s, I think
it
was
like early.
Early for parks, he turned it into a turned it into a public park.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a public park today. It's actually really quite beautiful.
It's really cool.
It's just this whole like trail.
And they have like a free outdoor like gym exercise area.
The whole which was probably not from the 1700s. It's probably more recent.
Yeah,
but you never know.
Yeah.
No, but it's, I think even leading up to that, there's a it's really kind of beautiful. There's like the there's a park with I think there's a kind of a grotto, like a little like a little tiny pond and cave thing with a couple of injured birds, I think, that live there. There's a swan and there's a few ducks, and they all seem sort of injured and, I don't know, roommates. Plus some really cute rats that are hanging around.
Oh, and they're just so cute.
Hanging out, sunning themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you don't like rats, I apologize. Maybe that's not, maybe forget the rats part, but if you...
Mice.
Yeah.
Cute little mice.
But it's a really, it's the, that's a quite a lot of green space, and we've mentioned this all the time. How Italy has is a deeply lacking in green space.
Yeah, they struggle with that.
But Siena, at least in this park specifically, kind of does it does offer a really nice sort of green alternative when you're in the sort of in the city center. It can just get packed.
Mm-hmm.
And the only people we saw in this little park, which again is, I mean, maybe 5 minutes from the kind of the Piazza del Campo, maybe 7 minutes from Piazza del Campo.
Yeah, it's not like you can see it from there, but it really is a short little walk,
and you're right there. And we'll talk about that more. The next episode is going to be on Siena, so we'll talk about that more in the next episode. But no, Siena is a great, I think it's a really great day trip. It's a different feel than Florence, because I think
for sure.
Something to I think we'll talk about this more in that next episode, but they were once sort of both quite powerful city states. So it does kind of like, I mean, Florence is now more well known. But
it's bigger too.
And it's bigger, yeah. But they, I mean, the whole like San Gimignano, which I know we'll talk about in a second, has the whole like the towers of San Gimignano. Siena also had the towers. And if you look at those old, I mean, old paintings in the sense of like those sort of 1600s, 1700s, like, you know, this bird eye views of Siena, it's a ton of these, you know, just towers going up to no reason. But
people just like towers.
A display of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, no, it's a, I think it's a fascinating option for it's one of the, I think it's one of the ones I strongly encourage for anybody, especially.
And it's a really reasonable day trip. Like it's,
oh, very
it's
much
very
so, yeah.
practical, and it's also very fun and lovely to see,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about it more though in the next episode.
Oh,
so I don't want to give away too much.
Yeah, there's way more to know about Siena, but it's just for this purposes of this episode, really super easy, practical day trip.
Perfect. Okay.
So San Gimignano, you mentioned.
I did.
It is also an hour and a half away from Florence, although it is technically slightly closer. But it's an hour and a half away by public transit, and it's a cute, tiny little town. It is majoritively one street.
It is one street with a couple side streets that either run perpendicular and like one runs parallel, I think, for like a couple, like one block. But it's one major street, that sort of... I mean, it's got stuff. I will say, you mentioned the public transportation very quickly. It is only by bus. There is no train.
Yes.
Which is kind of beautiful because...
Also, to Siena, it's only by...
Well, there's a train line, but it's... We'll talk about that. It's a little...
You're probably going to take the bus.
It would be better to take the bus to Siena because it would cut down on having to navigate Siena, basically, versus
from
the bus.
From the bottom, essentially. The bus arrives in Siena up at the top, essentially.
And you walk maybe for 10 meters and you're in, all of a sudden you're in the old part.
Yeah.
And San Gimignano is the same way. There's no train. It's only bus. It brings you outside the city walls where it's essentially kind of like a piazza parking lot area.
Mm-hmm.
But San Gimignano is, I think, fantastic. It's got, I mean, it's got a palazzo. It's got two or one gelateria that was like world champion at some point. It's, I mean, very heavy in sort of local production. So you're going to find a lot of local wines and...
Yeah, and also like a lot of local makers of art.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Artisan items. I think, to me, I got the sense that it's a place that has a lot of pride in its traditional products, but also understands modern tourism and people's want to bring, I don't want to say trinkets home, but just items to remember their trip.
For sure, yeah.
So they have a lot of that.
And they also have their own DOP, their own like basically protected grape, the Vernaccia, which is, it's just like, I mean, you can find it in all of Italy, obviously, but like it's just San Gimignano Vernaccia, I think is what it is, which is kind of cool just because... I mean, it's a tiny town, so it's just like always kind of fun when you find this like really tiny town in the middle of, I mean, not middle of nowhere, but you know, ideally it's kind of feels middle of nowhere because it's super small and it's not like you're this giant city and it has its own little grape and it's kind of like, wow, that's really cool.
And like you said earlier, it's famous for its towers.
It is. I think it's like supposed to be 13 or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, originally it was something like, you know, 20, 30. It was just one of the things that every wealthy person is building a giant tower. None of them, to my knowledge, you can enter because mm-hmm. they're all falling down and none of them were built like well.
They were built to impress, not to last forever.
Yeah. So unfortunately, it's cool. I think the cooler part though is walking through what genuinely feels like a town that has not changed at all since the 1600s, 1700s. Yeah. The towers may be arguably a teensy bit of a letdown if you're expecting these giant looming towers and you're finding.
Yeah.
Well, that's like 8 stubs of a tower. That's, you know, a partial tower. That one's a real tower.
Yeah, we found ourselves with a lot of other tourists going, is that one?
Yeah. Yeah,
I think that might be one. Oh, there's one over there. Oh, we already counted that one.
I will say, though,
it's cute.
It is cute. And I think one of the things that does let me down, well, let both of us down sometimes is so many small towns in almost all of Italy, a lot of people don't want to live in old houses. So what they do is they build these new construction houses like on the edge of the town or like just below. If it's on a hill, it's just below. So especially in like between the 60s and the 90s, 60s and the 80s, mm-hmm. You're getting these really awful, awful, awful houses and apartment buildings. And what people are doing is moving out of these old ones into the new ones because it was supposed to, you know, ideally, I mean, in theory and probably in practice, it was better insulated. Mm-hmm. You could have car parking, the whole nine yards. And San Gimignano, as much as we saw, there's nothing new and modern about it. I mean, it was
absolutely. Most of, if not all of what we saw was old.
Yeah. And I think
people seem to be genuinely living in the town.
Yeah. And I think that's only because we throw these things about like Rome and or even like Siena. I think there's a lot of new parts of Siena, not in the old town. But even sometimes in these historic centers, they weren't always protected. Mm-hmm. And you will go and find historic centers and you're like, is that like a Florida high rise in the middle of this historic, like it could be taken straight from Miami, inexplicably, but it's just basically at the time, nobody had laws against building ugly things in a beautiful historic town. Mm-hmm. So San Gimignano, I will say, is quite untouched feeling for many, for most of the most energy. So what's next?
So the final two are somewhat impractical, kind of like Rio Maggiore and Venice. But again, if they are on your list of must-sees, doable. So the first one is Rome. It's actually only an hour and a half by train. And that's what Nathaniel and I did last Monday or whatever it was. We took a day trip to Florence. It's on my slightly impractical list as a day trip from Florence because Rome is huge.
Yeah.
And there are so many important and popular monuments and museums and everything that you cannot see all of Rome in a day. There's no way.
And I think you could basically, if you're comfortable with not going into anything, yeah. So not inside the Colosseum, not inside the Foro Italico, the Roman Forum. Mm-hmm. If you're okay just being outside, like from, and this is something we talked about, like, I mean, from Rome to Florence, easy day trip because Florence is quite literally just right next to the train station. You can walk through the Duomo, the Uffizi, the Galleria Accademia, the Ponte Vecchio. They're all within walking distance. The Colosseum is right next to the Roman Forum. It is nowhere near the Pantheon as far as like, being a 2-minute walk. I mean, it's nearish.
But even the Colosseum to the Forum is a 20-minute walk.
No, it's like they're kind of quite the ones that they're touching.
They are, but it's like that's a long.
Oh, to the other end. Yes. Okay, sorry. From the one end to the other, it's about a 10-20-minute walk, depending on how fast you're going if you know mm-hmm. the sun. And then there's the altar of the Fatherland at the end there, which is this really imposing building that's not necessarily old, but it's very cool.
It's quite new, yeah.
But there's also like again, if you were thinking about like Vatican. You know, you're not going to go into St. Peter's Basilica.
Oh, yeah. I think you could see the Vatican, inside the Vatican, which is different than Sistine Chapel.
Oh, you're definitely, yeah, there's no way
you're going to museums. There's no way you can see the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican museums. I mean, I think
the Vatican museums are 3 hours minimum is what is recommended, like, which includes the Sistine Chapel. Because mm-hmm. Even getting to the chapel, though, I mean, there's a couple of quote-unquote quick ways, but it's still like it's 20, 30 minutes of going through a bunch of rooms to get to the chapel, and then another 15 minutes of going through rooms to get out of the chapel.
Yeah, it's intense. It is long. I think you could see the Vatican in a day, but it's...
Depending on the line,
Yeah, I think basically if you wanted to go, if you have one monument in Rome that you are, you know, die hard need to see, I think you could definitely see one on a day trip. If you are trying to run around the city and just look at all the major monuments, you probably need to make a list of, you know, number one to the million and just see how many you can get through.
Because I think, like, the Vatican is technically, there's Ottaviano is the stop, the metro stop for the Vatican, but it's still a 5 minute walk away, basically, from the 7 minute walk away, basically, from the Vatican. So it's not necessarily right there. The Colosseum stop, however, you leave the subway station and you look up and, oh my God, that's the Colosseum.
Yeah.
The Pantheon is not near a metro stop remotely. It's near a couple bus stops. The, what is it? The fountain? The Trevi Fountain. Kind of near a stop. It's mostly near bus stops and then the metro
Piazza
stops.
Piazza Navona bus stop.
Yeah. If that's something that you wanted to see. And that's, I mean, Trastevere, again, it's like one of those things where when it's a neighborhood, like Trastevere, walk around, it's beautiful. There's no buses through Trastevere, so you have to be dropped outside of Trastevere and walk through. It's kind of split into two by a major road, so you have like one side and the other side. And it all gets basically, it's one of those things where when you mix things like the Colosseum and the Vatican are on two different metro lines. And there's only two in Rome, which makes it simple. They intersect at Termini. But it's still, I think it makes the trip a lot more difficult. But it's great if you really wanted to see like the Vatican, or if you really want to see the Pantheon, or you really want to see the Colosseum. It's not a bad idea to, like, you can do a day trip to see this one thing. Mm-hmm. And, oh, you know, we have some time. Let's go and go see this other thing, too. Depending, too, I think, if you have what kind of tickets you have, because... we always get the Freccia Young tickets, which are like a third of the normal price.
And that's with Trenitalia.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can get them through Trenitalia or through Trainline, as we talked about before, as long as you have a little code. Italo has their own Italo Young thing, Italo Più, I think is what it's called. But basically, like, per person, the ticket is normally 99 euros round trip between Florence and Rome, I believe. But with Freccia Young, it's like 33 euros,
something like that,
round trip for one person. So, and though, but unfortunately, when you start doing things like that, you can't change the ticket. So this is all to say, if you're going to go to Rome, it's definitely like the idea of having one or two things in mind, hitting those out, go early, hit those out, and then if you have time, walk around, have, you know, gelato.
Mm-hmm. However, if you're planning your trip now and you haven't booked anything yet, my suggestion is that you need more than a day in Rome.
100%.
You can.
Like, even just a night in Rome would be, I mean, not fine, but it's certainly... It's
better than a day, but, yeah. I mean, 2 or 3 days is ideal in Rome.
Yeah, absolutely.
But again, that's not possible for everybody. So, you know, possible. It's possible to do as a day trip, quick look around, be in awe of the massive monuments of
absolutely.
Rome.
Absolutely.
Okay, so my last one is really on the outside of possibility. But again, if you're like, oh my God, I have to get there, Naples. So it's 3 hours away from Florence, and it was also, we also talked about it in our day trips from Rome, which obviously Rome and Naples are closer together, so slightly shorter trip, but there's no way to see Naples in a day. We talked about this in that episode as well. If you absolutely have to get there and see it and just stand in the Spanish Quarter and like have some street food and soak in what is Naples for a couple hours, it's possible. But it's a lot of culture to soak in in an afternoon. And it's not that small either. Like, there is a lot of walking.
It's a sprawl. It's
a lot of walking.
Multi-generational, multi-year sprawl too. Yeah. I think it's not one of those, I mean, I think with, when it, 'cause I talk about, when you talk about Florence and when you talk about, I don't know, like Siena even. It's like they often build like, you know, the bus terminal or the train terminal near the old part because that would have been the populated part. But with Naples, it's sort of, it's not.
No,
it's
there are many neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And they're not like all on the same transit line.
Well, there's only one metro too, which makes it difficult, and it runs like every 12 minutes or 15 minutes. So if you miss one,
subway is not great in Naples. Just a heads up in that it is kind of slow and not always on time and fairly old.
Yeah. So, I mean, which is, it's great to have one. It's phenomenal because it does connect like Dante and Toledo and all these like very popular touristy spots. And so that makes it super easy. I couldn't even tell you how the bus works. It seems like a nightmare. And it's very walkable, but it does require like, it's essentially if you can get into the town, the old town, the Spanish Quarter, whatever it is. And like you said, just have like that like, you know, I want some fried food, I want some street food, there's a coffee cart, something like that. Mm-hmm. I want to soak in just the madness that is Naples.
Yeah.
You can do so for about an hour or two, and then it's kind of like, all right, it's time to go.
Yeah.
And we're going to have an episode later, sort of when we get to the South, we're going to talk about Naples and why it's kind of so, one, I think it's important to see. I mean, eventually, you know, if you're coming to Italy, not maybe like over other countries necessarily, but it's one of those things that it's such a unique city, such a unique place in the world. But
Naples also, is more important to see than other countries or other cities.
No. And it just Naples is important to see, but maybe like if you're like, should I go to Naples or should I go to France? It's like, you should probably go to France.
I see what you're saying.
Sorry. Yeah. You should probably, like, it's not like, don't, it's like Azerbaijan or Naples. It's like, no, Azerbaijan might be amazing. I have no idea. Like, definitely check that out. Like, don't, you know, cancel your Azerbaijan trip to go to Naples. It's just, if you're in Italy and you want to know, like, you want to experience Italy, that is like the definitely the place.
Naples is amazing.
Yeah. It's unlike anywhere else I've ever been personally. And I mean, I haven't been, I've been to North Africa and China and Europe. That's like very, very small in many considerations, but it's such a, like, just, it's very much, I think, is like the definition of melting pot. So it's like, mm-hmm. if that's something that you're interested in, it's, you know,
it's chaotic. Someone in the best way, that is not a criticism. Someone said to me that their feeling of Naples was that it was like Delhi light.
India. I can see that now. Like, it's quite, it is. Yeah. It's like there's a system to the chaos. There's sort of a beauty mm-hmm. to the chaos, but it's like, I think to really enjoy Naples is really also to sort of, and we'll talk about this more. I know we're going on about this, but it's to really sort of embrace that rather than trying to stand separate of it. Just be like, yeah, people are walking in the street. Yeah. People are just doing whatever they want to do. But you kind of have to like, and get in there with it. It's like, you know, people are selling food out of these random, it's like, yeah, buy it. I don't know. See what happens. See what it tastes like.
Some sort of cosmic chaos that you enter the flow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not, I mean, it's also much safer though than people make it out to seem like it's like deeply unsafe. Because it's, you know, I mean,
for a long time, I think it was
a total nightmare place in the 90s, but it's gotten a lot better. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's gotten like amazing. And there's still obviously like anywhere else. We don't really talk about, I guess, yeah, we don't talk about safety too much. Maybe we'll do an episode on that at some point. But Italy in general is quite safe. Mm-hmm. Most of the crime is organized crime. There's very, very, very literal, this is very literal. No, there's very little like aggravated assault, and there's like no gun violence. I mean, the sense of like, I think something in the realm of like two murders in 2 months in Rome. And the mayor had this big press conference and it was like, you know, this is an epidemic. We have to stop this violence. And both of them were, I think, like drug or gang related violence. So that is when people talk about like Naples being unsafe, typically it means like it's historically been unsafe because of a lot of organized crime. It is much, much, much safer now. By and large, tourists don't have more problems there, I don't think, than they do anywhere else. Again, pickpockets are something to be aware of, but mm-hmm. you know, don't, I mean, not like, you know, not to blame the victim, but it's more just about the, you know, pickpockets typically, I don't know. I feel like they find out the people who have the, you know, phone in the back pocket or the wallet.
Yeah, I mean, I think they will find the easy target, which is, again, not to blame you, but you can try to remember to, you know, like don't keep things like your wallet or your phone in your pocket. Keep them in your front pocket and always like have a hand on them or know where they are, feel their weight. Keep things in a bag and keep that on the front of your body or always have a hand on your bag.
We're really partial to like the fanny pack. What do we call them these days? The little pouch.
Little bum bag, fanny pack.
Yeah, because you can put it like, I mean, the phone, the wallets, the cards, the whole nine yards. And we kind of put it over our shoulder. So it rests right in our chest, basically. And then kind of the zippers are up near our shoulder, near our face, because ideally, nobody can sneak their hand into that, especially on public transportation or something. They're in a line. And we've been very lucky. We haven't been pickpocketed yet, to our knowledge. So it's been, could be very good pickpocket. They took 20 euros and left 10. And I just was like, man, did I really spend 10 euros? Which gives me a great idea. I should totally be, that's a great pickpocket.
You should not be doing that. No,
like if somebody's giving you change. Oh, that's brilliant. No, but I think that's all to say, like when we talk about these day trips and stuff, any trips in Italy, but like especially day trips, I feel like, because that's something where it's just, I don't know, I feel more error prone when we're outside of our kind of comfortable area, and we're like, everything we need is with, you know, it's like we need the phone,
sure.
We need the, you know, we have like all of our tickets, all of our everything. Mm-hmm. So I think in these moments where, it's like, you know, if something's going to happen, it's always going to happen. You know, I feel like on these day trips where I'm like, I need the phone, so I can't lose the phone. And oh my God, where's my phone?
Mm-hmm.
We've definitely had some panic attacks where we're like, where do we put the phone?
Yeah, I mean, I think taking a trip anyway has your brain in such a different space.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're physically in a different space and to several different spaces much faster than you usually are. So when your brain is usually like, yeah, grab my bag, grab my phone, grab my wallet, head out on a normal day, is very different than, oh my gosh, we're in this new place. Do I have all of my possible belongings? Do I have every person in my family or friend group? You know, there's like a lot going on for you to keep track of.
Absolutely. So I think that's also like back to the day trips. Yeah. I realize I got like way off topic here. I'm going into like safety and pickpockets.
It's okay. It's important.
Yeah, it's good information. Could have put it at the beginning. But is there any other cities?
No, that's all our day trips. I think that was like 17.
17. Wow. Okay. So yeah, there's a lot of options, a lot of possibilities if you're. And this I think is if you're using Florence as a home base, because again, I think there's this unless you're doing a lot of research. If you're doing a lot of research, I mean, major kudos to you. I just sort of show up into a place and hope that it's what I was hoping it was. And then sometimes it isn't. And then it was like Florence. I'm like, yeah, it's probably pretty big. I don't know. It's a city. But then, you know, now that we've been there, I'm like, oh, it's tiny.
Well, that's because I think you, I travel very differently now. What, 5 years on traveling? Or more than that? I don't know.
Okay, definitely nine. But that's
nine?
That's very nice of you.
It has been nine. Okay, gosh.
She just forgot
time.
About 4 years of traveling with me. That's fine.
I just thought there was a lot of time in there when I hadn't left the U.S. No, but I heavily planned everything 9 years ago. But now I lightly plan. I mean, I look at kind of like what I want to see, maybe what I want to eat, but it's much less rigorous.
Yeah. I think with day trips is that sense. But even with I mean, if you're going to use Florence as a home base,
mm-hmm.
I know we've talked about like, the Uffizi, 2 to 3 hours. The Galleria, at least an hour to 2 hours, not bad.
Mm-hmm.
The Pitti Palace, the Palazzo Vecchio. It's like, if you're into museums, if you're into history, if you're into art, you really shouldn't be doing something like the Uffizi and the Galleria Accademia in both in a day. Unless you have
you
really
shouldn't
amazing...
You trying to, we suggest, because it's hard.
Yeah, it's very hard on your body, but it's...
Yeah, not impossible.
And if you don't have, like, the skip-the-line tickets that actually guarantee you to skip the line, because sometimes the skip-the-line long is... The skip-the-line...
Line is
really long. So if you don't even have those tickets, it can be just a ridiculous adventure, mm-hmm. To try to see all those. So I understand like the idea of like, let's do 5 days in Florence because I really want to get a good dose of art and architecture in.
Mm-hmm.
But then being done in three, you know, these are some really just great options as to kind of continue that Florentinian feel. Maybe not Naples at all. And not really Rome, but a lot of these others have a very, like, I think, Tuscan Florentinian feel simply because it's medieval, stone walls,
mm-hmm.
art,
mm-hmm.
good food.
And I will say Florence is a great place to make your home base for your trip.
For sure.
There really is. There's so many different places to go from there, and it is quite well connected. And like Nathaniel said a couple times, the Santa Maria Novella is very easy to get to. So I think it's a really good option if you want to stay in one place for longer than hopping around every day.
Plus, if you are, just add on to that, and then I think we'll leave you people be. but plus, I think if you're planning on seeing the north, because we talked about Rome being a good place, but Rome is great if you're also trying to just kind of delve into the south.
Yeah.
But if you're firmly, I think, going to be like, I'm just going to see what's in the north, then I think Florence is definitely, as you mentioned, a good home base.
Mm-hmm.
But is there anything else?
I think that's it.
I think that's it. Okay.
We've given you guys a lot of information, I think.
Yeah.
Not to pat myself off on the back. Well, I just mean that I feel like I've been talking about places for a long time. Yeah. So that's a lot to manage.
No. And if, like we said at the beginning, if you'd like to support Only a Bag, there's an affiliate link for Trainline in the description. Mm-hmm. And please leave a review or subscribe, follow us. We're not really sure what it looks like on your end. I'm assuming there's some sort of button involved. Yeah, but
some positive button.
Hit the positive button, please. We would love that. And then next episode, we're going to talk a bit about Siena. Mm-hmm. It might be a very quick episode, simply because it's a very small town, which is not to say it's an important town, but we're not a historical podcast, so
no small places, Nathaniel. Only small podcasters.
Okay. I was like, pizzas. I was trying to guess where you're going with the P word, and I was like,
although I wasn't patting myself on the back before, I think I will pat myself on the back for all of my quippy quips.
And did you want to hit them with your Assisi joke? Even though we didn't talk about Assisi, it didn't end up on the list, but
it did not, because it's a bit difficult to get to as a day trip from Florence. What was it though? If you want Assisi,
it was 10 out of 10. It was in line with the baloney one, and the what was the other one you hit him with?
I don't know, but I'm sure it was great.
Oh my gosh, this is what you guys come here with. This is comedy. This is the best comedy you're gonna find. Very punny. And
this is the best comedy you're gonna find.
I know a lot about comedy. This is the best comedy you're gonna find this side of this
podcast.
Yeah, this is probably easily. You can't really work that many puns into some of the things we've talked about. We'll try though. If this is why we're getting listeners, we'll work some puns.
If you enjoyed this, let me know. I'll come up with some more puns.
Well, thank you so much all for listening.
Yeah, thanks y'all.
And we will talk to you next time about Siena.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about Siena.
Yeah, me too. All right. Until next time.
Yeah, until next time. We'll talk to you later.